Okay, Chevra, we're doing Yerida and Elsim and Sadi Beis Ifches, which is probably one of the most halacha lamaisa se'ifim in Basar B'Cholav. The question, obviously, that we'll get to is about using the same oven for Mochik Samfleishiks, using the same microwave for Mochik Samfleishiks, etc. In order to get there, we have to obviously go through the history of the halacha and the Tur quotes a Tshuvas HaRosh, the Rosh in the Tshuva in Klal Chaf Os Chaf Vav. The Rosh basically tells me that the Zeya of Cholav is Dino Kecholav. Right? So if I have a Machvas of Cholav and it's Mezia, so the Zeya, the steam that comes up from the Cholav, is Dino Kecholav. This is based in the Tshuvas HaRosh on the Mishnah, second parak of Machshirin, Mishnah Beis, where the Mishnah says that La'inyan Tuma and Tahara, in order for food, all of Mesachas Machshirin is about that in order for food to become Tame, it has to first require Hechshar L'Kabel Tuma, which means, like the Pasuk in Parashat Shemini says, Asher Yavo Olav Mayim. Right, basically, some liquid has to come on it. The Gemara tells us in Perek Elo Metzias that the din of Hechshar L'Kabel Tuma is only if it is ki yitain dumya de ki yutan, has to be l'ratzon. Right, the Torah uses the term ki yutan mayim al zera, but it's spelled without a vav. That means that you need to want, you need to desire the mayim that comes on the peiros. Nonetheless, this is true, the Mishnah Yisem Achshirin say, only if it is mayim that is tahorim. Only then do I require the ratzon. If it's mayim tameim that comes on it, I don't need the ratzon. Zok the Mishnah there, Machshirin Perek Beis, that if I have Zeya of Mayim Temeyim, so it also has the din of Mayim Temeyim, and it's Machshir L'Kabel Tuma, even Shalola Ratzin. That's basically the context over there in Meseches Machshirin. So the Rush derives from Meseches Machshirin, right? It's kind of a creative Rush. He derives that the Zeya of anything is Dinay Ki that thing. That's basically what the Rush points out. Now, of course, that anything that we're talking about, the Pesachei Tshuva over here quotes from the Prima Godim and Hanhagas Iser Veheter, we're only able to derive from the Mishnah Machshirin regarding liquids, no? Solids, Oichlim, don't have Zeya. That's what the Prima Godim writes in Hanhagas Iser Veheter. Moshe Feinstein, in one of his Tshuvas, notes that when they say that Oichlim don't have Zeya, what that means is min hastam, it's not Meziya. If I see that it was Meziya, so obviously b'kahaygav, no, I have to be concerned with the Zeya. So this is kind of the introduction. This is the that Tshuvas HaRosh. The Tshuvas HaDeshen elaborates on the ideas that are found in this Tshuvas HaRosh, and the Tshuvas HaDeshen basically says that when we speak about the Zeya answering, that means that the Zeya hits when it is Yad Soledas. If the Zeya is no longer Yad Soledas, then it won't answer, and all of this makes it to the Beis Yosef, all of this makes it to the Mechaber Amah, Sadi Beis Ifches. What's interesting to note, however, is that there is a Tshuva of the Gain and Sadik, the Mishnas Yankiv. The Mishnas Yankiv was the Rav in Karlin, right? But he was a Litvak. And this actually, there were two brothers. No, the Mishnas Yankiv and the Keren Ora were brothers. The Keren Ora, by the way, if you want to learn the Gvaldika Sefer, like in any Masechta, there's Keren Ora, it's tremendous. Like in Kodshim, the Keren Ora is the king. Right, so the Keren Ora and the Mishkas Yankiv are both brothers. I think they're buried next to each other. And the Matseva says, Shnei Achim Shera'u Es HaChama, or something, whatever. In other words, the Mishnah I speak about Shnei Achim Shera'u Es HaLavona, right? And this is Shnei Achim Shera'u Es HaChama, that they saw the sunlight. They were both Ga'one Olam. Mishkas Yankiv and the Tshuvan Simin Lamed Daled, the Mishkas Yankiv says that in his opinion, we don't really paskin like the Rosh. This Chuvas HaRosh that derives from Maseches Machshirin, the fact that Mishnas Yankiv is saying that might be a din only le'inyin tum and tahara. However, when it comes to Isser v'heter, so he has a Rivash in Simen Reish Nun Hei, where the Chuvas HaRivash, now, the Mishkanes Yankiv is very funny. At the end of this shuv in the Mishkanes Yankiv, he says, when I quote the Rivash, I'm quoting the first paragraph and the last paragraph of the Rivash. The middle of the Rivash is kind of off a little bit, but the Rivash in paragraph 1 and in the last paragraph, like paragraph 6, basically, the Rivash says that the din of Zeya is only formulated by Isurim, which are Isurei Hanoa. You see, when they have something that's Asur Bahano'ah, like Avodah Zarah, let's talk about Avodah Zarah. So the Mishnayos at the end of Temura say that anything that is Min HaNisrafim, right, and it gets burned, it should be Mutter, with the exception of Avodah Zarah, the Afer of Avodah Zarah remains Asur, no? That's why we paskin that if I have an Avodah Zarah, I have a Getchka, and I have to get rid of it, I don't know how many of you guys were watching in the Beis Medrash the other day when someone came over to me with a genuine Avodah Zarah shaila. We're going to have to go. I think we're going to do a sheer field trip. I want to go to Jerome Avenue for the mitzvah of Bir Avodah Zarah. This guy just has to convince his parents to, his mother, to let him take it. But they found a real Avodah Zarah. It's unbelievable. Right? So the Mishnayos and Avodah Zarah speak about how by Avodah Zarah you have to be Zoyvel Ruach, you have to grind it up and then put it in this air and have it disperse. And there's a question that emerges over there that one second, maybe it will propagate growth and then it's going to still be Usur. Right? In other words, the Afer, the burned Avodah Zarah stuff, remains Usur. That's the yesod that we have from that Mishnah and the Temura, from that Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, says the Mishnah Yankiv, maybe the din is that the Zeya, that the steam that comes up from a substance, it's ke'ilu, the substance was burnt. It's ke'ilu, it's nisraf. And when the substance is nisraf, it's only going to be usher, the Afer ha-nisrafim is only going to be usher by Avodah Zarah. But by Sha'ari Surim, says the Mishkas Yankiv, there's no din of Zeya. That's what he tries to derive from that Rivash. Again, the Rivash says it in the first paragraph and the last paragraph that there's only a din of Zeya by Avodah Zarah. In fact, the Mishkas Yankiv is so megal that he wants to say that whiskey that is not going to be chametz. Right? Isn't this like the best cool in all of Judaism? Right? This is unbelievable, guys. Like, you gotta, like, wow! Right? That whiskey might not be chametz. Why? Because it's only the zeyah. It's only the zeyah of the wheat.
He says
not. Now, at the end of the tshuva, he writes that maybe it's not going to be chametz shavarlof of Pesach. Maybe for full-fledged chametz, I keep the machmir on it. But based on this rivash, let's say that whiskey might not be real chametz. That's really what he comes up with. That's kind of wild. It's very wild. That's what the Rivash says. And comes along the Mishkan Yankiv. He says you can rely on this Rivash, behitz tarev, the end of the Chuvas HaRosh. Then when something is hot, it can't be Mekabel Zeya. The Rosh at the very end of that Chuva says maybe the Zeya, when it hits something that's hot, the hot thing won't allow the Zeya to be absorbed. We can be mitzdarif, the fact that maybe there's nothing to Zeya with that. We can be mitzdarif maybe with the fact that when it will spread out, like we'll discuss in a few minutes, so then there's no din of Zeya. So the Mishkan Yankiv is right into this Rivash. And then he adds a few nekudas that are relevant for what we learned this year. He says, in his opinion, Zeya has to be mutter. Because we had a discussion back when in Pei Zayin about l'cholav shebekeva, no? If a animal, a cow, let's say, has milk that it is in its stomach, there's a discussion that maybe the l'cholav tzolo shebekeva, right? We have three sheets of Rishonim, maybe even the l'cholav tzolo shebekeva is going to be mutter. Why? Because it changed, it's nishtana. says the Mishkas Yankiv. If that's considered a shinoi, Elachas Kama Vekama Tovam Chupas HaMakom Aleinu, it's going to be a shinoi when it becomes steam. And then he tines even further that he thinks there, it's meduyuk like this in Rashi on Daf Kuf Ches. When Rashi speaks about the dinim of Nir Vekisa, which is like the subject of everything, so Rashi says that Nir Vekisa means Shemei Hashulayim Olam Ad Lamala. Says the Mishkas Yankiv, it's meduyuk in Rashi, that's only Mei Hashulayim, only the water. Mamish bubbles, right? Not just steam. Steam is garnished mit garnished. But Rashi says the Mei Hashulayim is Olam Ad Lamala. And Zuck the Mishkas Yankiv, what that means is that only the Mayim itself. And he says that's the Pshat in the Gemara, when the Gemara speaks about Doma Lokisa Yafa Yafa. Maybe you didn't do a good job covering the pot. What do you mean you didn't do a good job covering the pot? Like, come on, how hard is it, dude? Right? To cover a pot? No? You could probably figure it out. Even guys who don't know their way around the kitchen so well, with some of covering the pot. Wait, what's so difficult? Yes, no, 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 no. If you hold like Rashi, that you need mamish mei hashulayim oilam ad lamala, it better be a very tight cover, like ilu airtight, to allow the bubbles to go up. Oh, right? That's already, that's the Mishkanes Yankiv. Now, there are a few points that we can make on the Mishkanes Yankiv and on his diyukim from the Dinim and Peizayin, etc. Now, one point that we can make, first of all, is that maybe there's no dimyan to Pir Sheba Alma. You see, we're talking about steam. Anyone who's taken high school chemistry knows that steam, there is be'etzem only a change in the state. No? Water and steam is the same thing. How, and ice, is ice, water, and steam are both, are all H2O. Nachon? The only thing is that ice is a solid, water is a liquid, steam is a gas. Difference between liquid, solid, and gas is just how tightly packed the molecules are. But there's no fundamental change on the chemical level between gas and water. As opposed to the Cholav Shebekeva, where we say it's Pir Sheba Alma, the pshat over there is that there's already some chemical change, no? Aren't I mixing like some gastric acids with the milk, right? So one could argue, again, Lu Yitzuy, if we'd chas v'sholom be in the university, we'd chas v'sholom study chemistry, we might be able to make such a distinction based on that. The diyukim from Rashi about Mei Hashulayim Olim Ad Lamala also are somewhat debatable. Although Rashi uses that lashon of Mei Hashulayim, we noted that most of the Rishonim, most of the Mefarshim, don't take that Mayim point particularly seriously. And especially if I was right in my previous comment, so the word Mei Hashulayim don't mean nothing. If my previous comment is correct, that steam and water is fundamentally the same. So Rashi uses the term mei, and he doesn't mean mayim in the liquid state necessarily. Right? So I think there is room to be mechalek, but nonetheless, the shita of the Mishkanes Yankiv remains, that's what he says, effectively for the Mishkanes Yankiv, there is no din of the Zeya. Let's get into our din of Zeya, though, kind of underneath the hood. If you look in the Gain, in Os Lamed Tes, again, the case here in Shulchan Aruch is, I've had Machvas of Cholov, that under Kedera Shabasa, the Zeya goes up, and it's Nivla B'Kedera V'Os Rasa. The Zeya goes and asers the Kedera. The Bir Hagra quotes that the source of this is Kanal Sif Beis. De Bekisa have a Kenior, Shehevel Mispashet Bekuloi, Ukiilu Kulo Betocharotov. The first Makar that the Gon gives for the Din of Zeya is the Gemara that we just quoted on Kufches of Niyar Bekisa. Like by Kisa, it means that the Hevel is Mispashet Bekulo. Then he quotes the second parak of Machshirin. One could make a strong case that these two makoros are actually somewhat different. If I am learning from the Mishnah in Machshirin, so the hevel that you have in the Mishnah Machshirin probably means that, like, if you ever went into a hot mikvah, there's like a bit of steam that comes at you. It's not like a noticeable steam by any sort of way, no? I could see, like, when I walk into, when I go in from the outside on a freezing cold day, my glasses all fog up, no? And sometimes you can walk in an area that's mamish steaming, like your kasher and kalim for Pesach. It's mamish steaming, and like you could see the steam. I don't think that's the pshat in the merchatz. The zeya in the merchatz, the Mishnah Machshirin, is probably talking about a non-noticeable steam. However, the Gemara in Kuf Ches, when it talks about Niyar V'Kisa, one can maintain, possibly, that is a very noticeable steam. In Rav Schechter language, there is a difference between Hevel and Zeya. Actually, in that article that I asked you to read from Rabbi Jachter, no? Rabbi Jachter's Medayik from this Gra, that the Gra uses the term Hevel rather than Zeya, and that would imply that it has to be a thicker steam. Right, I think Rav Schechter's nusach is like pea soup steam, no? Most of you guys probably never ate pea soup, and that's for a very good reason, because it doesn't taste so good. But, what? You like it? Oy vavai. You just lost 30 points on your final, at least. It's over. But basically, that is called hevel. In your Schechter language, like the pea soup stuff. That's like very intense, very thick. Rabbi Jachter's medayik that the Gra uses the Lashon Hevel rather than the Lashon Zeya to say perhaps it means that this thing is only when it's a thicker steam. Now, of course, it seems to me that this is not a particularly strong diuk, because the Gon is really quoting two sources. And I would maintain that if you're learning from Kuf Ches, so then maybe it's only Hevel. But if I learn from the Mishnah Machshirin, someone could argue that it is Zeya. Other possible makoros might be whether there is Zeya by Eichlem. No? If it's on the Mishnah Machshirin, like we noted, it's only by Mashkim. One could argue that the din of Niyar V'Kisa, perhaps, in theory, could apply to Eichlem as well, if you're not from Kuf Ches. A third nafkamina might be in a situation that there is makom lehis pashet. Do I assume that the din of Zeya, or Hevel, or whatever I call it, is only when the items are mamish close together? And there is no space for the steam to dissipate. But if there's space for the steam to dissipate, one could argue that the din doesn't apply. Now, it would seem that if you're learning from the dinim on daf kuf ches, so talking about that you're covering a pot, when I cover a pot, the pashtus says there's no space for the steam to dissipate. As opposed to if I'm learning from the Mishnah in Machshirin, so in that case there is space for the steam to dissipate. That l'cha'ora should emerge as a potential nafkamina. Now, if you look in the tshuva of the Bach that is cited over here in Hagon Reb Kiva Eger, so Reb Kiva Eger quotes a tshuva for the Bach that the din of Zeya, which we'll call it, does not apply when there is makom lehis pashet. Hey. Now, the way Reb Kiva Eger quotes the Bach is only using Makom Lehis Pashet as a snifla hakel in the case when I have a suffik if the Zeya is Yatzolad Espo. No? You read Reb Kiva Eger slowly and carefully. Reb Kiva Eger is not quoting that the Bach holds that when there is space for the steam to leave, it is automatically mutter. But The Bach is only saying that in a situation where there's space or a talib, and we're not sure that the steam is yad so let us both, so then in that case I could be makel. Nachon? It happens though that in our dear beloved friend Reb Chaim Cohen in the Badei Hashulchan, he points out that if you look at the Bach inside, the Bach is not saying that. The Bach sounds like he's saying that in all circumstances, if there's makom hispashik, it's going to be permitted, even if it's not a safek. In the tziyunim oshin samachdalen, which is going on the Pnim, Sivkat and Kuf Samach Gimel. So the Badei Hashulchan says, if you read the Bach inside, the Bach is saying that the din of Zayah only applies when there is no makom hispashet. And that's a categorical statement. It's not only in the case when it's a suffix of Yad Soledes or not Yad Soledes that it has to be that there's no space for it to dissipate. But even if there is no suffix, it certainly is going to be Yad Soledes when it hits the pot on top of it, says the Bach, even so, if there would be makom hispashet, it's going to be mutter. And Reb Feivel understands that the Bach holds that the din of Zayah is based on a totally different mechanism than we understood it. See, we understood that the din of Zayah is that steam contains the properties of the substance it came from. So milchig steam comes from milk, so it's milchig, right? Fleishig steam comes from meat, so it's fleishig. The Bach, however, is saying, no, 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 that's not enough. For the Zayah to be absorbed, you also need pressure. It's almost like Duchka de Sakina that we'll encounter in some Insadivav. I need like the pressure of a knife. So I need the pressure. You know, like sometimes you have a pressure cooker or something, and it boils, and like Lamaisa, it could rip the pot cover off, no? At some point. It's like boiling so much. And that's the only time when there's a din of Zayah, according to the Bach, which is very interesting. Okay. Yes, sir, Mandelbaum.
The nafka milim that we were talking about before, whether like from Kotev or the Mishnah Shir for the Grah.
Yeah.
If he's learning from both sources, then he would just be.
So right. So the pashtus is that the Grah holds that there's no, the Grah does not learn like the whole Shir that I'm giving, right? And the Hanani. In other words, it would seem to me that there is a real nafkamina between these two sources, potentially, but the Gain kind of makes a chalent out of it. Inochanami. Okay. Let's kind of move on within these dinim of Zayah. Question. Right, we know, or let's just go through the Trumas HaDeshen for a second. If the steam, actually before I get there, one other point, right? I'm sorry, but Mr. Mandelbaum asked a question that sent me off, so I forgot what I was up to. But when there is space for it to dissipate, so the Bach is mekel, Reb Chaim Cohen points out that the Trumas HaDeshen and the who cited in the Ramah is obviously not holding like that Bach. Again, what does it say in the Trumas HaDeshen? If I have a piece of meat that's hanging over the stove, so the milk that goes up will hit that piece of meat and could shrafe up the meat, no? Or you have to imagine like colonial homes, like remember those big black stoves that you saw? And you have like the kaolin that hang on top of the stove. And people also didn't have so much room. They'd hang, let's say, a salami on top of the stove as well. So in that situation, says the Bach, excuse me, in that situation, says the Trumas HaDeshen, quoted by the Ramah, I'm worried that the steam is going to go up and milchigize the salami. Right? Or milchigize the kaolin on top of the stove. Now, Reb Feivel points out that the Pashtus is, of course, there's space for that steam to dissipate. Right? That seems to be relatively obvious. There's space for it to dissipate. Nonetheless, even though there's space for it to dissipate, nonetheless, the Ramah answers, so you see, against the Pach. The question is, can you be mitzvah if this Pach has a suffix at all in our ovens? Now, in our ovens, most of them have a certain escape in the back, no? There's like a teeny bit of space. Is that enough, right, to say that according to the Bach, it's not going to be a din of Zayah? It's a little bit difficult, no? It's a little bit difficult to assume that the vent in our ovens is sufficient. Perhaps you could argue it's not even sufficient according to the Bach, especially according to Rebbe Kiva Eger's take on the Bach. Then the Bach is only talking about when it's a suffix yad soledes, so the vents in our oven certainly won't help. And we have that Reb Five Cohen is pointing out that the Ramah is against that Bach. Good. Next question. Does what goes up automatically have to go down, come back down? See, let's talk about our ovens. In our ovens, right, can I use the same oven for mochiks and fleishiks? So let's say I'm cooking a solid item. So an oichel, not a mashke. So maybe I don't really have to worry about the zeh. Although Rav Moshe pointed out that there's full-fledged zeh for sure I have to worry about. Let's say I had like a liquidy chicken that I'm cooking in the oven. So chicken liquid is going to go up and hit the top of the oven. So the top of my oven becomes fleishik, right? What snifim do I have lahakel so far that we learned?
Well, it's derabanan meat, I guess, number one.
And so derabanan is some mitigating factor, not a complete kula. A complete kula? I have the tshuvas harash, where the tshuvas harash at the very end is mesupik, that if it hits something that's boiling hot, there's no din of zeya. No? The top of my oven is really, really hot, no? So I have that suffix in the rush. What other tzadim do I have lahakel? Well, I could say, mehecha tesi, that just because the steam went up, it's ever going to come back down. Do I have to worry that chickeny steam that hit the top of my oven is going to come back down? And fleisha guys, the food that I cook afterwards? I don't know. I don't know if I have to worry about that. But etzem, it's a machlokas here. You see, in our case, you have a machvas that's full of cholov. The cholov goes up and it's going to hit a kedera shel basar. Right? So the kedera shel basar can become treif. The basar in the kedera can also become treif. Now, although I should point out a tenth of a diuk, that the mechaber only says the kedera becomes treif. No? The Ramah adds that the eichel can become treif, and you need shishim in the eichel. No? Halo davarhu. It would seem to me, by the way, that this is actually a big machlokes haposkim. Look in Sifkot and Lamed Beis, in the Shach Sifkot and Lamed Beis. Sifkot and Lamed Beis is talking about the dinim Se'if Zayin, where I have a zechila of cholov. And let's say the cholov is keneged ha'esh. And then I put a pot on top of that zechila of cholov. So the Shach writes that this is more, it's bigger, worse, however you want to say it, than the ordinary din of tata'a gevar. And therefore it's even going to ask for the tashel. No? State in Shach l'slamed beis, that when I put a pot on top of a hot zechila, the food in the pot becomes aser. Hey, Katuv B'Shach. Katuv B'Yad Yehuda. Sifkotin Ayin Ches in the Perish HaKotzer. The Yad Yehuda notes that it's not true. The Yad Yehuda thinks that only the pat, the Cheftza of the pat, becomes milchig in that case. But the Ochel Shebetoch HaKedera doesn't. L'cha'ora, Rafi Aniyas Daiti, this is actually a machlokas mechaber amoy here in Se'if Ches, no? That the mechaber writes that it's going to asra the pot. Think about it. You have zeya. Right? The zeya is going up. So in the worst case scenario, the zeya going up is like putting the pan on top of the zechila. Right? According to the Yad Yehuda, the food in the kedera can't become asr. No? So that's already half a nekuda. So let's go back to our case, the oven. I have an oven, and I'm cooking my liquidy chicken in the oven. Fleish goes up. Top of my oven maybe doesn't become fleishik, suffik in the Chuvas HaRash. Do I have to worry that it's going to come back down and asr the stuff underneath it? Well, that's a classical machlokas here on the page. Does the machfas become treif in this case? I have the machfas with cholov. It goes up, it hits the kedera shel basar. Either it asrs the basar in the kedera, it doesn't asr the basar in kedera. We think that's a machlokas mechabrama and a machlokas shachi agihuda. Do I have to worry that it's going to come back down and asr the machfas underneath it? Right? Do I have to worry about that? Katub b'dogo meravavo. V'gam ha-machfas ne'esra. Shahazeya ne'esra v'esrasa. The dogo meravavo tain us that the machfas becomes asr. And he quotes... And he quotes a Magen Avraham. He gives you a few Ma'ar Makomas that the Machfas becomes Osir. In the back of my Shulchan Aruch, I have Hagos of the Imre Baruch on the Dogo Meravava. No? There's like two comments that the Imre Baruch has on the Dogo Meravava. There's Imre Baruch on the Chavastas, and after the Imre Baruch on the Chavastas, I have a little bit of Imre Baruch on the Dogo Meravava. So the Imre Baruch in his notes on the Dogo Meravava says that he thinks it does not asr. We don't have to worry that what went up is going to come down. That's not our concern. You don't have to assume that it happened. Yeah. In my Shulchan Aruch, it's on page Reish Samach Aleph. Heicha shepasuach ktsas min hatzad l'mayla says the Dogo Meravava, if you have a vent in the oven, so since there is some space for the steam to escape, so b'kahai gavna, you don't have to worry, the steam is going to come back down. Meaning, the Dogo Meravava is saying that the steam will come up and then go back down and asr the machfas underneath. The Imre Baruch is saying that in a situation where there's a vent, you don't have to worry that it's going to you don't have to worry that it's going to come back down. Now, in the tshuva that Rav Shechter wrote to the OU about using the same stove for milking some fleishiks, I could probably find it for you and print it up. I have it somewhere. So in that tshuva,
an oven
is like the inside. We'll talk about stoves in a minute, also. But can I use the same oven for milking some fleishiks? So Rav Shechter, the way it's commonly said, Rav Shechter's mechalek din hevel and zeya, and he says that the pea soup stuff is really a problem. Short of that, it's not a problem. Aval ha'emes he, that Rav Shechter's distinction between hevel and zeya is really on stage two of the process. In other words, Rav Shechter holds that even zeya will trafe up or will make my oven fleishik. The only thing is that if it's just zeya, if it's just steam, not like pea soup steam, but just a little bit of steam, then I don't have to worry it's going to come back down. But go up in asr, that for sure is. So I would contend that what Rav Shechter is really saying is sort of, you know what, there's this teeny bit of a machlokas between the Dogo Meravava and the Imre Baruch. Rav Shechter is going to say that in a situation where it's pea soup goes up and come down, Dogo Meravava is right. If it's not pea soup, so then it will not. Rav Shechter basically holds that Me'ikra Din, you're allowed to use the same oven for milk and some flavorings. Right? Not at the same time, but one after the other.
How long do you have to wait?
Rav Shechter holds that you don't have to wait. You have to cool, the oven has to cool down between using it for milk and flavorings. But I don't have to wait 24 hours. If it doesn't cool down, it's kilo, I'm cooking them at the same time. That's different than the cold recha. But I can use the oven, uncovered fleishiks, uncovered mochiks, one after the other, not a problem. Now, obviously, you have to make sure that the oven is clean, no? If I use the oven for uncovered fleishiks and it was just dull fleishiks, so it's kilo, I'm cooking. Like, this Shiloh comes up every year, Shavuos time, no? One of the big issues in Judaism is how do you make cheesecake? It's mamesh from the Yukari Ha'emuna. Now, if you only have a fleishig oven, how do you make cheesecake? So Rav Shechter says, what's the problem? Right, use the oven for fleishigs and use it for milchigs after. You don't have to worry that the stuff is going to come down and mess up your cheesecake. No? Because only hevel was going to come back down, not zayah. But I have to make sure, obviously, the oven is clean, and there's no actual mamoshes shel meat in the oven. They quote that Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichron Livracha, used to say, this is on the Rabbi Jachter article, no? Rabbi Aaron used to say, all you have to do is wait 24 hours if you milk it and fleishik in the oven. In the Artscroll Kashrus book, they quote from Rabbi Forst, that Rabbi Forst said, Rabbi Forst wrote the Artscroll Kashrus book, so he quotes himself, that you should designate your oven to have one gender, and whenever you cook the opposite gender, you should cover it. I think that's pretty standard practice in most of the world, that your oven, let's say, is fleishiks, because you probably cook fleishiks more often than you cook milchiks, right? You can cook fleishiks uncovered. If you want to cook milchiks, cover it. Now, what does the covering really help? I think Zach Schwartz is asking me this morning. Don't they have to worry that the fleishiks are going to come and hit the top of the cover, and it's like tipas basar shenafa kederas cholav, right? The reverse of what we've been saying. So apparently, I'm not worried that's going to come back down. Apparently, I'm thinking more imri baruch dik. If you really worry it's going to come back down, so you'd have to have what we call a double cover. Right? And when I use, let's say, a Treif microwave, so the recommendation of using a double cover is as follows. The idea of the double cover is that even though the steam will come back down, and the steam will Treif up the area that it hit, but it's only going to Treif up the outermost cover. And the absorbed steam in the outermost cover won't travel from the outermost cover into the undercover, well, that doesn't sound bad, into the undercover, because ein habaluach leich mikli lekli below relative. So the cheshvan of a double cover, I thought, is for that reason. But it makes more sense in a microwave than it does in a regular oven, because a microwave has a much thicker steam, right? So it's more likely to be hevel than zeya. And in a microwave, there's much more of a concern that's going to come back down. It's just a metzias issue. Mr. Mandelbaum.
What counts as a cover?
Yeah, so
like paper towel or something.
I thought even a paper towel or something counts. Again, the idea is that you don't want this stuff to go and hit. Let's say the paper towel is going to be the second cover on top of the first cover. You don't want it to go and hit the underneath cover. However, if it's a paper towel and it's a liquid, so the liquid might seep through that paper towel in Gansen, no? And it doesn't accomplish that much. Right? So that would be... people like the halacha l'maaseh stuff.
What's the point of the one cover? Just having one cover?
So I thought the point of the one cover is I'm not really worried that it's going to come down. But just in case it comes down, I don't want it to end up in my food directly. Right? You're saying,
but
and the whole thing Yeah, so what's the point in the one cover? Not sure. Right, you're saying that, like, right, what does one cover really help?
Not to cut them down, you need two.
Right.
I hear the concept. And we have to look at how Rabbi Forrest phrases it.
I think the concern was the Zeah, was it the Zeah from the food comes up, hits the top, and then that Zeah that comes from the food comes down. But the top of the oven doesn't give off Zeah.
Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. There might be balua in the top of the oven. And the Zeah maybe will release that balua and have it come back down.
But is that balua is going to have its own independent Zeah, or is the Zeah from the food going to...
The Zeah from the food is like the medium to bring the...
Right, so if you cover it, then there's no... And, I mean, I don't know about a microwave. Microwaves, I think you have to...
There's more.
Yeah. But like within an oven, if I cover with tinfoil, there's no Zeah leaving the food.
Right, so the covering will help that. Correct. The covering will help. Very good.
That's
that there's, that the milkshakes don't go up and hit the oven, but don't I still have to worry that there's going to be some fleshic Zeah from the previous use of the oven that's going to hit my milkshake cover?
I mean, I
guess. Right? So I guess then you have to say that you're not chosheish. Right, that you're like Imre Baruch Dick, right? And you're not cautious that this stuff that's up on top is going to come back down.
Then you don't need a cover.
So the one cover only helps, correct. The one cover only helps that the milkshakes inside won't go up.
Why is that an issue?
Huh?
Why is that an issue?
If the milkshake goes up, so then I'm making my oven basar b'chalav, and I'm not allowed to cook in the treif oven.
No, but even if you have a cover, steam always goes up, no matter what.
No, but the steam's going to go up, it's going to hit the cover, and then it'll come back down.
No,
The steam won't escape from the...
It does. I mean, that's the whole point. The whole point is that there are always holes in the covers. They go up.
You're talking about a microwave cover. I'm talking about a regular oven that I put tin foil on top of the food.
Like in a microwave, isn't it always...
Listen, guys, I think we're going to have to go on Daven Mincha. Maybe tomorrow we'll continue this. Like, there's a lot to say over here. I want to try to get to the bottom of it. And our dear beloved friend Megillah Sefer has some interesting ha'aros as well for us to discuss.
But
and what?
One covers the general practice, we're saying.